Well, hey, our scripture reading today comes from Colossians 1, verses 15 through 23. So that's going to be up on the screens, or if you want to, you know, find it in your Bible, you can do that as well. But before we read, let's pray. God, we give you this time, and we ask that you would speak. We ask that you would do the work in our hearts that needs to be done, whether it be encouragement or a new direction we need to go. God, would you guide us? Would we hear your voice and be reminded of your love for us this morning? So as we give you this time, we give you our hearts, and we pray that you would speak. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Colossians 1, starting verse 15. This is about Jesus. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of all your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." So, we're in the middle of our summer series going through the lectionary, and the way the lectionary works is you get like four scriptures to choose from. You get like a psalm and an Old Testament reading and a gospel reading and a teaching, I think it's called. And so Colossians is our teaching reading today. So you still get some flexibility, I guess, in what you get to talk about. It was a tough call today. There were a lot of good ones. But we went with Colossians. And so what we're going to be talking about today is how God has revealed himself to us through Jesus and the implications of that and a few other things in this passage. So we're just going to kind of go through the scripture piece by piece, and we're going to talk about some of those things. Not all of them, because it's dense and full of awesomeness. So you can get the rest, you know, when you read it tonight or something. But let's look back at verse 15 and 16. I'm just going to read that again. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." So Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and all things were created by him and for him. So God made himself known through Jesus Christ, and he did this in these two ways, using Jesus as a conduit for creation. But also, you know, Jesus walked on the earth. He was among us. And so we're just going to look at that for a second and see what that might say to us. So Jesus, you know, a couple thousand years ago, walking around, hanging out with people. And one thing that we see that I think is kind of surprising, but we've talked about before, is that Jesus, excuse me, wasn't afraid to hang out with social outcasts and with people that were ostracized from sort of the powerful religious groups at the time. So he cared for the marginalized, even the people who weren't necessarily doing great on the checklist of things, like getting all their ducks in a row. He was hanging out with these people. He knew them by name. And on the other hand, Jesus wasn't afraid to question those who had influence and power. So we know that on the one hand, if we don't feel like we have everything together, that's okay. God still knows us. He still walks with us. He still talks with us. And on the other hand, if we are people who have influence and power, we know that we have somebody holding us accountable. And we know that Jesus is with us. And so, you know, it becomes easy to be tempted to do things in our own interests when we have power and authority. And Jesus is there to remind us that there's a bigger picture there. So, one way Jesus is among us. And so he hung out, you know, he had dinner, he really invested with people. I mean, he spent 3 years walking around, you know, the desert, hot, not fun. I mean, of all times and places to come. I mean, it would not be my choice, but, you know, he did it. Walking around, sweating it out with the disciples day after day, in the same boat with them, so to speak. And so in God, in Jesus, we see that God has become personal. He interacts with us in a way that we can comprehend. He meets us where we are. Same God who made the mountains is sitting down having dinner with people. So he is the approachable God. But God also made himself known through Jesus, through creation. So we can look at God's creation, and we can learn some things about God. When I see waves crashing on the shore of the ocean, it reminds me of the power and beauty and unpredictability of God. But at the same time, that same ocean has that water that's gently flowing just right over the sand, just, you know, it's like an inch deep, and it's just kind of ebbing and flowing, and it reminds me of God's gentleness, and it gives me a sense of peace. I mean, God is the source of both of these things. The same God made the mountain peaks, which remind me of God's majesty and strength. He also made the ants that are crawling along in their little neat little lines going about their business, which tells me that while God is mighty and huge, he also took care for these little tiny things that you and I would disregard almost any day unless, you know, they're crawling up our pants or something. So I would just invite you to picture something in creation that delights you, whether it's, you know, a sunset or a forest or the song of the birds. Just picture that in your mind. Think about how that makes you feel. And then think how God, who this originated from, think about how it makes him feel. Think about how he delights in his own creation. I mean, you know, we are dogged by worries and fear and sin, all these things that really hinder us experiencing all that God has. God, who's totally free of that, imagine what that must be like for him to experience this majesty and beauty that he created. And then remember that we are a part of God's creation. And so you can translate how God feels about the ocean or the mountains. How much more does he feel about his people, who he declared are very good? The rest of creation was declared good on, you know, a God scale, so pretty good. But when he made people, he declared them very good. So think about how God feels about us in that context. And so as a part of God's creation, we belong to him. It says, everything was made for him and by him. So we were made for God. And, you know, that can be a really comforting and encouraging thing to know that we belong to God and know how he feels about us as part of his creation. But at the same time, especially in a real individualistic society, the idea that we belong to someone other than ourselves can be a little bit disconcerting, a little a little jarring. I mean, we are programmed day after day to think primarily of ourselves, whether it's just our instincts wanting to protect ourselves, or it's the advertising we see on TV wanting us to buy stuff for us. We're kind of trained to think about us and realize that we are sort of the masters of ourselves and not someone else. But here it is. We belong to God. So when we remind ourselves of that, what changes for us? What happens when we're not all of a sudden the center focus? I think, you know, just a few things. It informs our priorities. You know, what does God care about? God cares about making his love known. He cares about justice for the poor and the oppressed. He cares about relationship, connecting with his people and seeing his people connect with each other. And you know, he cares about us individually and as all God's people. And it's sometimes a little different from, you know, the things we care about. You know, I care, especially in Illinois, I care about my air conditioning and my car working, which it did not for a while, and it was like, you know, you would think it was the end of the world, and I'm driving around sweating it out, and it's all good now, so I'm good, but that's about me. So, just kind of a difference. How we spend our money might be different. How we treat other people who are also part of God's creation might be different. And one thing as a worship director that I tend to think about is, you know, the worship service and how might our worship, how we interact with God, be different. I mean, what do I expect when I walk into a worship service, you know, that I'm not, you know, a part of putting on? I expect that there will be, you know, some kind of style of music. You know, there are some styles that really resonate and help me feel like I can worship, and there are some that drive me crazy. I'm not going to, you know, say what those are, but if you know me pretty well, you might have an idea. So there's the style of the music, then there's the quality of the music. If the music is done really well, like it was today, that was awesome, I find it easier to worship. But if, you know, something's going wrong, or somebody's singing out of key, I sort of think, oh, what's going on? This is ridiculous. So that's the music. And then, you know, there's the sermon. When I come to a service, I expect to hear a good sermon. I expect to be challenged and changed. And, you know, these are totally good things. But I forget that the pastor is just a fellow human, like, groping around for answers and thinking of something to say. I can say that from experience today. but I don't usually do the pastor any favors by taking time to prepare my heart for what God's going to say to me. I treat it more like a test, which is kind of a weird test. Like, are you going to challenge me today, pastor? This better be good. Instead of saying, God, what do you have? And it's so ironic, because this time that we have set aside for worship, I mean, we can worship any time, any place, but of all places, when we gather and we're like, let's worship God, there's all these distractions. And I can go through an entire service thinking about how the singing was, or whether or not it was a good sermon, rather than focusing on connecting with my God, which is why I set aside this time to gather with people. So, the ultimate point of why we gather to worship is, you know, to give God glory and to hear from him. And if you think about something like a family dinner, you know, maybe some of your family's in from out of town, and the folks you live near, you all gathered to have a dinner. And what if, you know, dinner starts and, you know, your cousin is listening to an iPod or something. They've got their earbuds in and they're rocking out. And what if maybe mom burnt the casserole? I mean, here you are for dinner. But if suddenly that dinner becomes about the burnt casserole, or if it becomes about doing whatever you can to either isolate yourself or just do anything you'd rather be doing, like listening to your music, that's really not the point of a family dinner, right? The food could be horrible, but if we're gathered together and we connect, that's really why we're gathered. I mean, we can have food, whether it's good or bad, kind of anytime, any place around here. So the point is to connect with each other and to connect with God. So the next two verses, verse 17 and 18, it says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy." So I don't think it's a coincidence that in one verse it says that in Christ all things hold together, and then in the very next verse it says Christ is the head of the church. But why might Paul be saying this? Well, I think for me and probably for most of us, it's easy to forget who's in charge. And even at church, we can forget that God's in charge, in control of the situation, and it becomes difficult to trust him and lead him, and to trust him to lead and care for his church. And we become more likely to try to manipulate situations and manipulate people around us to what we think the best outcome is. We're more likely to do that than to seek God in prayer and ask him to lead us and guide us. I mean, it's a common thing, and I think that's, you know, why we're reading about it here in Scripture. But this happens, and people become more like obstacles rather than beings worthy of love. But I think it's important to keep in mind as a church that the mark of success isn't so much about, you know, how many people come through that door. It's about how we love. And here we are, surrounded by people. And if we cannot love each other, if we cannot connect with each other, there's not really much point for people coming through the door. So, God is in charge, and we need to remember that to connect, so we are free to connect with each other. And it's also, Christ holds all things together because it's easy to be fragmented. And this doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, when we're in different places physically that we're fragmented. I mean, we have people that we love dearly who are in Malawi right now, and we're still very connected to them. And really, we can be physically together and be completely divided and divisive. I mean, you look back at the family dinner and, you know, maybe the casserole was perfect. And maybe no one was even listening to their iPod. But if, when dinner is all laid out, everybody's all ready to go, if people start arguing and bickering and bringing up old hurts that they've just held on to and never worked through, we're not really together, are we? So we need to seek Christ first, who is the head of the church and the source of our togetherness. In him, all things hold together. So we seek Christ first, and then we are free to be together. And then picking it back up at verse 19, it says, "God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." So we belong to God, but, you know, sometimes there are problems with things. And there's actually a number of ways that one can belong to another, or one can possess something. You know, if I can go to the store and I can pick up a new gadget, new iPhone or whatever, and if I get home and it doesn't really work, well, usually I can take it back and get something else or maybe get my money back, but I don't have to deal with the problem. But maybe there's something I made, like a homemade toy. Probably not as cool as the toys in Toy Story, especially if I made it. But if something breaks with it, I spent the time putting this thing together in the first place. So there's a good chance that I'm going to know what is needed to put it back together. And there's also a good possibility that having spent the time to begin with, I'm going to want to spend more time putting it back together because I've invested in this. But even more than that, what about a child or a spouse or another loved one? If they're ailing, if they're hurt, if they're sick, I mean, this grieves us. And we do whatever we can to help. We pray and, you know, we feel sometimes like our resources are limited, but we do what we can, and it's really, it's a big deal for us. But none of these examples really illustrate how God has us. Maybe it's a combination of the second two examples, but then it's a little bit more, I don't know, you know, the intimacy of something of like having given birth, but also having been envisioned and loved before time. I mean, you mix that intentionality there, and then maybe we start to get close. I still don't even think that quite captures it, but it's more like that. And what did God do when we were broken, when we were ailing, when we were in sin and separated from our God that we were made for? He gave his life. He gave his life for his own creation through his blood on the cross so that we could have that connection to God that we so desperately need. So he made the way for that connection to be established. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ. All of God for all of us. So God has revealed himself through Jesus, both in person, walking on earth with people, and through creation. As a part of God's creation, we belong to him. And God loves his creation deeply and wants his creation to be connected. And when that couldn't happen because of sin, he made the way for that to happen. So there's a whole lot of things we could take from this passage, but I think if there's one thing we walk away with today, may it be that the image of the invisible God has made a way for us to connect with him. And let's leave here reminded that we can jump into that relationship and explore all that that relationship has for us. Let's pray. God, we are here, and we know we stray and we get distracted by things, and we forget how much you love us. We forget that we were made for you, but we know that you have made a way for us to return. So we want to connect with you this morning and as we leave this place. So would you hold us close to you and keep us? Praise the Lord.